Emery. Next case for argument, United States versus Harris. Ms. Shuley?
Good morning, Your Honors. Renee Schooley here on behalf of Appellant Joey Harris. This appeal involves the denial by the District Court of a motion to suppress an investigatory stop. Mr. Harris was seen outside of a liquor store in East St. Louis, Illinois, with another individual. There were several other people in the area, and a task force was out that day driving by the liquor store. One of the deputy marshals observed Mr. Harris hand something to the person he was talking to. He did not get a description to be able to describe the object, but he suspected that a drug deal had occurred. Based on that, he decided to approach the two individuals. There was another police car involved. East St. Louis Police Detective Hill approached one person, and as he did that, Mr. Harris began walking away. Once Deputy Marshal Woods approached, he asked the other officers if they had allowed Mr. Harris to leave, and they indicated no, they hadn't, but no one had told him to stop either at that point. The officers did direct Mr. Harris to stop, and he continued walking away. So the whole basis of the suspicion was the fact that he saw something being handed to another individual. In the other cases that involved this type of investigatory stop, there was always more evidence of it being a drug transaction.
Does the fact that it was in an area known to be rife with drug transactions have anything to do with it?
I think that is one of the circumstances that has to be taken into consideration,
and
yes.
And the way they were dressed?
That I don't believe has anything to do with it. The fact that the marshals and the detectives had on short sleeve shirts, but they were wearing vests that they indicated did help keep them warm. The evidence was that it was 52 degrees, and the fact that someone has on a sweatshirt when it's 52 degrees or a leather jacket, I don't think that has anything to do with the reasonableness of the suspicion.
Why was the U.S. Marshal involved in this?
The U.S. Marshals in the Southern District of Illinois are involved in a task force with other agencies in the area, and they regularly go out with these other agencies. And
a number of law enforcement agencies are involved.
Yes, yes.
Local and federal.
State, federal, yes.
Well, isn't really the problem here he disobeyed the command when they told him to stop? He didn't stop.
That's another factor that can be considered, although he wasn't actually doing a run. He wasn't running. He just continued walking and didn't stop. And there's no indication, although the officer said he had to have heard them, there's no indication that he did until they were actually up on him. And I don't, even though they told him to stop, I don't know that he had to do that at that point. Was he required to?
Wouldn't it be advisable in East St. Louis if a police officer approached you to stop if he said stop?
Yes, I would agree with that if he heard him say that. I think based on the facts, the articulable facts known to Deputy Marshal Woods at the time, I don't believe that there was a reasonable suspicion at that point to initiate the investigative stop. Detective Hill indicated that the reason he was approaching the individuals because he thought they were committing trespass. When asked why he thought they were committing trespass, he indicated, well, he wasn't really familiar with the Illinois trespass law and couldn't say for sure. In addition, I think it's important the fact that these facts of the suspected drug dealing were not contained in Deputy Wood's initial report of this incident. He mentioned nothing about that in the report. So I think that goes to the facts that he was really relying on in making this investigatory stop.
the long leather coat, it wasn't a jacket, actually. It was a longer...
It was a thigh length.
Yeah. And leather, which
leather.
Could be used to conceal, for example, a sawed-off shotgun, right?
Yes. And so could a sweatshirt, for that matter, I guess.
Well, not a sawed-off shotgun. In any event, that's really one of the things they mentioned, right?
It
was easy to conceal a weapon.
Yes, that is one of the things they mentioned after the fact. Yes, I don't believe that. I think it was mentioned in his reports that they thought it suspicious that they were wearing coats. But again, based on the temperature, I don't think that's a reasonable thing to make you be suspicious about.
Well, they were right, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Now, so what is the concern? Is the concern that often they're wrong when they make these stops?
No, I think the concern is that people's rights...
They have to have a reasonable predicate for the stop.
Yes.
And you think, well, it's a judgment call, isn't it?
Well,
and you're just saying their judgment was inappropriate.
I don't think that there were the articulable facts were there to make that stop.
What if they just have good intuitions and they're never mistaken? Then what would be the problem?
Well, I still think that's you're violating their
Why?
Rights by
Why?
If you just come up and jump out of the car and start.
What if they have good intuitions? They're always correct. They just what? It's just criminals that they stop in this.
Fair place. Answer. They have to have an articulable reason for the stop.
Yeah, more than just a hunch.
Why?
More than just a.
Why? Only because the Supreme Court said so. Other than that, I cannot think of a good reason at all.
Unless there's further questions,
right, you don't have any reason. It's just the law. Right. It doesn't make sense, but there it is. There
yes, it's the law, and okay. The police officers are supposed to follow it. And
it has no function, but it's...
That's what Terry says.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Shuley. Oh, let me ask you a question, though. Why did it take 2 years to get to the suppression hearing from the stop?
Well, Mr. Harris was not charged in federal court until...
He was doing state time.
He wasn't doing state time. I think there were... The same charges were pending in state court, but the federal the government didn't charge him federally until just in 2005.
Thank you. Ms. Scott?
May it please the court. My name is Angie Scott. I represent the government in this matter. As this court has pointed out before, reasonable suspicion requires that the totality of the circumstances be considered which were known to the officer at the time of the stop, and that factors are not to be considered in isolation. This court has also pointed out several factors a district court may consider when analyzing whether or not there was reasonable suspicion to stop this person. One of the factors is that the district court looks at the experience of the law enforcement agents. Here, Detective Hill testified that he had been with the East St. Louis Police Department for 7 years, and Deputy Woods testified that he had been with the Marshal Service for over 19 years and that he had experience investigating drug crimes. Another factor the district court may consider is the behavior and characteristics of the suspect. Deputy Woods, based on his training experience in investigating drug crimes, believed that the defendant and this other individual had just conducted a drug deal based on the fact that they were standing outside this liquor store and that he had saw a hand-to-hand exchange between the two. The deputy and Detective Hill both noticed that or believed it was suspicious that this individual was wearing a mid-thigh what they described as a heavy leather jacket on a warm day when they were only wearing short sleeves, and they were concerned that this might be used to conceal some type of weapon. The defendants also, or the officers also were concerned again that when they...
What month was that? It was April, right? April?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The officers...
Do you accept this 52-degree... evidence?
Yes, we did not try to rebut that evidence.
Well, some people wear coats on 52-degree days in April, don't they?
I'm sure some people do, Your Honor, but...
The thinnest part of your case.
Well, Your Honor, again,
you
this is...
have a lot of different coats, you know?
Your Honor, again,
calibrated to small changes in temperature.
Your Honor, again, we're not asking the court to look at that factor in isolation, but rather as a totality of the circumstances known to these officers at the time of the stop. In addition, Woods testified that Mr. Harris clearly saw the officers because they were all wearing raid vests, which had either police or U.S. Marshal on them, when he began walking away. He also testified that Mr. Harris didn't just kind of amble away, that he quickly walked away.
Walked briskly, you mean? Say he walked briskly, not just ambled, huh?
Yes, sir.
He said that's significant, isn't it? That's significant, isn't it?
Yes,
maybe
sir.
He's a fast walker.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, well, I said maybe he's a fast walker.
Well, Your Honor, what Deputy Woods...
why don't you stick to the totality of the circumstances and let it ride? I mean,
well, he was walking fast because he was cold. That's why
right.
He was wearing the long coat, right?
Well, Deputy Woods testified that in his experience, it appeared that Mr. Harris was deliberately trying to avoid contact with these task force members. And the big thing here is that Mr. Harris, after repeatedly being told to stop, continued to walk away, even after Deputy Woods had drawn his weapon after Mr. Harris had...
Well, that indicates somebody who's not too bright.
Right. And, in fact, when the officers caught up with him, that's the only way he was stopped, was Detective Hill caught up with him, that he resisted being handcuffed by stiffening up his arm, his left arm, and he continued to have his right arm in his pocket. When they told him to get his right hand out of his pocket, he refused and had to have his hand forcibly removed and placed in back so he could finally be handcuffed. One other thing that the district court is required to consider is whether the location of the stop is in a high crime area. The task force members were patrolling that area because it was a high crime area. Detective Hill testified that they had received several calls that spot was a hot spot for drugs being sold there and also people with weapons in that area.
Ms. Shuley has already conceded that it was a high crime area, and she said it's the circumstances that could be taken into consideration, so I wouldn't dwell too much on that one.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. What the government would argue is that when you look at the totality of the circumstances, all of the factors that the officers looked at when they determined whether or not there was reasonable suspicion to stop this person, that this was specific and articulable reasons for them to do so. We would also note that this court has stated in the past on numerous occasions that otherwise innocent behavior might be considered reasonable suspicion based on the officer's training and experience when a regular person would look at that same behavior and not find it suspicious.
There you go.
If there's no other questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Scott. Ms. Shuley, how much time does she have? 3 minutes?
Your Honor, unless there's any questions, I really don't have anything to add to what's already been stated.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Shuley, and thank you to the defenders for representing Mr. Harris.